And welcome back to the And One. Walker Anderson joins the show today to discuss the All-Star Reserves and give our all-snub teams, plus the latest news and updates on Tiger Woods' tragic car accident in Los Angeles as he is recovering from surgery for his legs, and so much more today on the And One. Of course, just a reminder here to please share my podcast and to follow it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts at home. Also, go check out the YouTube channel. Go subscribe to And One with Ian Hooks. Go check it out. Go like, go comment. You know what to do with it. And so let's get started with today's discussion. But of course, here is a message from our sponsor, Anchor. Tiger Woods, a 15-time major champion and winner of record-tying 82 PGA Tour tournaments, was unfortunately seriously injured in a car wreck in Los Angeles on Tuesday morning yesterday. Tiger underwent several hours of emergency surgery to repair what doctors called significant orthopedic injuries to his lower right leg and ankle. Quote, Mr. Woods suffered significant orthopedic injuries to his right lower extremity that were treated during emergency surgery by orthopedic trauma specialists at Harbor UCLA Medical Center, a level 1 trauma center. Communicated open fractures affecting both the upper and lower portions of the tibia and fibula bones were stabilized by inserting a rod into the tibia. Additional injuries to the bones of the foot and ankle were stabilized with a combination of screws and pins. Trauma to the muscle and soft tissue of the leg required surgical release of the covering of the muscles to relieve pressure due to swelling. This was a passage and a quote from Anish Mahajan, MD, Chief Medical Officer and Interim CEO at the Harbor UCLA Medical Center. For Tiger Woods, he is currently awake, responsive, and recovering in his hospital room. In a tweet, the Tiger Woods Twitter page said, it said, quote, thank you to the wonderful doctors and hospital staff at Harbor UCLA Medical Center, the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department, and the Fire Department. Your support and assistance has been outstanding, end quote. And so, police and the fire department initially arrived at the scene and found Tiger struggling to get out of his SUV as he was trapped. He says Woods was wearing a seatbelt and was conscious and alert. Quote, the Gonzalez, the police officer, said, I spoke to him. I asked him what his name was. He told me his name was Tiger, and at that moment, I immediately recognized him, end quote. Gonzalez said Woods was able to answer questions about what day it was and where he was. Tiger was able to speak to him lucidly, he said. He also added that Woods appeared incredibly calm, probably because he was in shock. And so, because of damage to the front end of the vehicle and the fact that the SUV was lying on its side after tumbling and rolling on its side, responders had to extract Woods from his car through the windshield. And so, LA County Fire Department Chief Daryl Osby said that responders used a pry bar and axe to remove the windshield and pull Woods to safety. Villanueva, another cop on duty, noted that the airbags deployed in the cab of the SUV was still intact, which allowed Woods a, quote, cushion to survive the crash. I will say that the officer, Gonzalez, said, I will say that it's very fortunate that Mr. Woods was able to come out of this alive. And so, when I look at this, Ian, when I look at Tiger Woods and this crash, my mind goes to Kobe Bryant, of course, with the helicopter crash and another vehicular accident such as this one. But so yesterday when this news came out, it was just really, really surprising. And I think whenever like a major athlete like this does seem to fall victim to these circumstances, I think it is surprising to all of us, because we see Tiger Woods, we see Kobe Bryant beyond their sport. We see him as like beyond celebrities, really. And so it's just surprising when these types of things, I guess, happen. And for Tiger Woods, I think he is very lucky to be alive, because if you look at the area he was in, there was said to be a telephone pole that he just barely missed, a very large, strong tree that he just barely missed. So, yes, Tiger Woods is lucky to be alive, but it's very fortunate that he is. And for me, when I saw the news once again, I was I was worried. It's just a worried kind of like nervousness factor goes over you because you don't want a person to die. It's just not. It's just sad, and you just don't feel good when something this type of news comes out, and so you do get worried. You feel nervous, but for me, I'm not worried about Tiger Woods as the golf player. I just want him to be good as the person. I just hope the best for Tiger Woods as the individual, as the father, as the family member, as the brother, as the son. I just hope the best for him. If he doesn't come back to the golfing community, that is very sad. But for him to still be alive, that's the benefactor. That is the good part of all of this, that he's still in recovery, that he is able to have these surgeries, that he's able to be lucid or loose a loose lucid like the police officer said. The fact that he's able to have these surgeries and to be responsive is excellent. I just hope the best for him, and I just we he is lucky to be alive, and it's tragic that this golf star who was just recovering from back surgery, in fact, too. Back surgery that he has to go through these leg surgeries now, and that he has to go back down to the dumps and try to recover once again. It just if anyone is able to recover like this, it is Tiger Woods. Let's be real, he's gone from the dumps to win a Masters most recently, in 2019, of course. And so, I just will hope the best for him. This is absolutely awful, and it's just good luck on this journey because the destination, well, the journey is everything. But to get where you want to go, you got to get to that destination. And it's just, I wish the best of luck and the best wishes to Tiger. And welcome back to the And One. We have Walker Anderson back with us once again to get into the basketball conversation. Last night, the NBA All-Star Reserves were released to the public. And let's just be clear here. There are always snubs, and there were once again very obvious snubs in this case as well. And so, Walker, just some quick thoughts on like the actual chosen few to this All-Star Reserves. Do you like it? Do you not like it?
Yeah,
So, just some
so
quick
for
thoughts.
me, I'm honestly, I don't think the lists are that bad at all. I actually kind of like the reserve rosters, just the reserves in general. I just don't mind them, and I'm not really surprised by any of the picks besides maybe Vucevic or maybe Ben Simmons. But the problem with when we're picking snubs in a second, the problem is, and for people who are always complaining about them, the problem is you have to think of who you would take out. And I think all the people that are in that you could take out all have their own respective cases and all deserve a spot. I mean, like, if you want to take out Vucevic, sure. But he's carried this Magic team with, like, Markelle Fultz out, is Cole Anthony out, I'm pretty sure, Aaron Gordon, Jonathan Isaac. I don't know. He's
Yes.
carried this team, and they're still pretty decent, and he's averaging 24 points and doing pretty well. And Ben Simmons has gotten more aggressive and he's doing pretty well. So each player has their own cases, I think, for why they're in there still. But I do think at least my snub list, I think I could see some of my players that I have on my team making it over the current players.
And for me, there always are going to be snubs. There just always are. There's always more people that are qualified for these All-Star spots than the actual chosen few that are in the All-Star game. You mentioned Vucevic. That's a great point. But then you look at, like you said, he's carried his Magic team without the plethora of other players that are hurt for that Magic team. And then you go to a possible replacement for him, and then you look at Sabonis. Sabonis is putting up basically the same stats, but they have a better record. So that's the part that I kind of get confused by, and that's the only reason why I said Vucevic would fall for Sabonis per se. Then you look at Ben Simmons, and it's like, is Ben Simmons right now an all-star? It's debatable. There's other players you can put, like a Fred VanVleet. I know De'Aaron Fox isn't actually in the East, but he's also been in that conversation as well. And so I'm honestly fine with the Western Conference. I think it's kind of perfect, other than the fact that Devin Booker's not there,
Yeah.
except I think Devin Booker will be the replacement for Anthony Davis. I think we can all agree on that. And other than that, I think this is a fine list, and they got all the All-Stars right, actually. Usually there are more snubs. Like last year, Bradley Beal wasn't there, which was absolutely absurd, in my opinion, and Devin Booker, if I recall that right. And so I think this year they actually did a solid job, the coaches did, on these reserves. So I'm happy, not really anything too upset about. But Walker, you mentioned we're going to do snubs. So let's do the snubs. And so basically, Walker and I have compiled our all snub team, just the stars, no bench. So we have five players that we think were snubbed the most. Walker, start us off with your starting
My first
backcourt player.
player, I
Who's your
think
first
I
one?
had him in my reserves when we made the episode a few days ago for the East. And this is Trae Young. I mean, he's averaging like, I mean, the thing is, last year he was an all-star starter, and I know that obviously last year there was lots of injuries and the East was not good in terms of all-stars at all. Because there was three starters last year that aren't even all-stars this year, and one of them is Trae Young, and I think he did deserve to be in that list. I know the Hawks aren't doing too well, but it's like neither are the Wizards, and Bradley Beal's numbers are better than Trae Young, but Trae Young, when he's off the court, the Hawks are way worse. Like they told on, especially on offense, because he's pretty much their whole offense, besides maybe like Cam Reddish or John Collins. So he's having an incredible year in terms of stats, putting up lots of points and assists, and I think he deserved to be a reserve, in my opinion.
For my first player, Devin Booker. And you look at it, LeBron James tweeted this out yesterday. He said in his tweet, quote, "Devin Booker is the most disrespected player in our league. Simple as that," end quote. Do I r agree with that? I think Damian Lillard is actually the most disrespected player. And Devin Booker, he's right there as well. I think Bradley Beal could be even in that conversation as well for most disrespected player, because you see what he's doing in Washington, definitely not getting the credit he deserves. And then even the Arizona Cardinals Twitter page said, quote, "Even we know that Devin Booker is an all-star," end quote. And so you can see people are pretty pissed off at the fact that Devin Booker is an all-star. I'm fine with putting Chris Paul over Devin Booker, but the fact is, honestly, they should both be in the all-star game. And we'll see that. But Devin Booker, he's been absolutely fabulous of late. I said that yesterday. He's turned it on. He's averaging 25 points, shooting the ball over 50% from the floor. Wait, how is that not all-star numbers right there? So the fact that he's not like currently in the reserves is a problem, but it's just so hard for these coaches to put other guys over certain people. And so I understand why they put Chris Paul over Devin Booker, but Devin Booker easily a snub right now before he's actually on that all-star reserve team. So Walker, take us
Well,
to
my
your
second backcourt
second
player is obviously
backcourt
Devin
player.
Booker, and I had him as a reserve. I think I'm honestly not surprised that the coaches put in Chris Paul, because I think the coaches recognize the great impact that he's had on the Suns this season and the multiple ways that he impacts the game, especially on defense, because Devin Booker is obviously not the best defender. But I feel like, I mean, you just listed his stats. He's putting up really good numbers, and he didn't start off the season as well as he had in the past few seasons, but that's because Chris Paul is also handling the ball a lot more than he is, I think. And I think Devin Booker will still be in the All-Star game, so it's not like I understand why lots of people are like complaining, but I don't think everyone should be freaking out. I think he's still going to be an All-Star, but that's up to Adam Silver, so we don't know though. But yeah, he's the obvious second spot in my backcourt for the snubs.
And for me, my second backcourt player is Fred VanVleet. I had him as an all-star previously. He wasn't, but I think he still has enough, man. You look at the Raptors, they have the best record in February, and it's because of Fred VanVleet. And Pascal Siakam, he was actually an all-star last year too. He hasn't been in that conversation at all this year, which is kind of funny in my opinion. But Fred VanVleet deserves to be there. And it's not necessarily the points he's putting up, because he's only putting up like 20 points per game. But it's also the fact that he's averaging 7 assists. He's been a playmaker for the Raptors team, which started off the year poorly, but has turned on of late. They're fifth in the Eastern Conference. And you could say that the fact that the Eastern Conference isn't deep, and it's true, it's not as deep as the Western Conference, but it's still competitive. It still is, not as the same competitiveness as the Western Conference, of course, but it's still competitive. And Fred VanVleet, he's been a leader for this Raptors team, with Kyle Lowry now being out with a slight injury. It's just Fred VanVleet has just been so consistent, and he deserved to be in the All-Star game. Unfortunately, he wasn't, but he's definitely on this all snub team. So third backcourt player or so wild card, I guess.
My third player, I have the second option for the Bucks and Chris Middleton. And I know, obviously, Giannis is an all-star and he's a starter, obviously. And I know the Bucks haven't been doing as well as, like, the Sixers. So, I mean, the thing is, the Bucks have been doing very well. So, I think they do deserve two all-stars. And the second all-star would obviously be Chris Middleton. But, yeah, as I said before, it's hard to put him over Ben Simmons because Ben Simmons, the Sixers are still the first in the East. And so, I think they also deserve two all-stars. So, and I mentioned all of his stats and all of his incredible efficiency in when we were predicting our reserves for the East. And he's just had a really good season. And although he's not putting up, like, career numbers, I think he's had a great impact on this Bucks team. And he's had to step up since Jrue Holiday has been out, and as Jrue Holiday is their third best scorer, I think. And aside from Giannis and Chris Middleton, the Bucks don't really have any scorers at all, besides maybe Bobby Portis. So I did have Chris Middleton in my All-Star reserves, but he didn't get that spot.
And then at my final backcourt slash wild card spot, I have Trae Young. And so you had him as well. And for me, it's interesting because if you look back at it, we both had Trae Young as All-Star starters when All-Star voting opened up. I don't know what that changed. Maybe it was the fact that James Harden started turning up and turning it on. But it's just crazy how Trae Young fell from our list to being a starter to being on the snubs, not even being in the All-Star game, which is kind of interesting, I guess. And for Trae Young, he's been fabulous. Like, all these guys have been fabulous. Fabulous. Excuse me. And for Trae Young, you got to feel bad for him because you see what he's doing with his Hawks team. He's putting up incredible numbers every night. On the other night, the 23rd versus the Cavs, last night actually, he put up 28 points, 12 assists, yet they still lose the game. Versus the Nuggets, 35 points, 15 assists, they still lose the game. And so Trae puts up these fantastic numbers every night, and it's kind of the same situation with Bradley Beal, that they just don't get the job done because there's not enough on the team. DeAndre Hunter has been out for the Hawks, which has really hurt them, and so there's a reason why they're dropping games. And so Trae Young hasn't been in the eye of, like, the national television, like ESPN or TNT. They haven't been there because they're not as good as these other teams, like the Sixers, the Bucks. And so Trae Young hasn't been in the eye of these guys as often. So Trae Young's undervalued. And so I think he's undervalued here. He could have been on the reserves. I actually have him there. But Trae Young, snub team, yes. And so take us to your front court now.
Walk first and name both of them. Obvious please. Front court pick, another Eastern player, another Eastern Conference player, is Domantas Sabonis. And I could see why Vucevic is in the All-Star game, but I do think Domantas Sabonis deserves it over him. He's carried the Pacers with so many injuries, like TJ Warren and Caris LeVert has been out this whole time. And they're still a four seed in the East, and they're above the Celtics, who have two All-Stars, and I understand that as well. But I do think Sabonis should be in the All-Star game. We said this before a few days ago. He's a walking double-double, and he gets tons of rebounds, tons of points, and he's also up to his assists, and he's actually a pretty decent playmaker for a big man. So I have Sabonis as my fourth spot.
Yeah, Sabonis is my number one front court player as well. And it's kind of interesting because if you look at this all-snub team, personally, at least for me, it's like all Eastern Conference except Devin Booker. So I think that's actually kind of interesting. But for Sabonis, he's putting up the same exact numbers as Vucevic, yet why is Sabonis not in the All-Star game? Sabonis is on the better team. You mentioned how the Pacers are actually fourth in the Eastern Conference now ahead of the Celtics because the Celtics, of course, lost to Luka and the Mavericks last night on a buzzer beater three. And so you see these numbers from Sabonis, but again, I think it's just being undervalued because Sabonis, like you said, he's actually an excellent playmaker. I was watching the Pacers one time a little while ago. I think they were playing the Cavs or something, and it was just the facilitating – from Domantas Sabonis that really opened up the space, which really opened up a lot of the court for other players to convert points. And so I think that was really interesting because Sabonis, he doesn't just score. He doesn't just rebound. He is a primary playmaker for that Pacers team. Yes, they have Malcolm Brogdon, another primary playmaker, but it's not just him. It's also Sabonis getting to the lanes, being able to kick it out to the outside for like a TJ McConnell three or whatever. And so it's Sabonis is very good and should have been in the All-Star game. That's unfortunate for him. He was snubbed.
So
you can carry on.
I actually don't know really what to put for my fifth person, for my fifth kind of snub, and I wanted to do a front court player. So I ended up doing Bam Adebayo. And Bam, although I don't think he deserves an All-Star selection as much as any of these other players do, I think he does deserve it. I would put him in there over like someone like Jimmy Butler's teammate. But I do think he deserves some recognition. I mean, he's averaging almost 20 points. I think he's averaging almost 6 assists, and he's still really young, and which is a good sign for the Heat. I think the main reason why he didn't get in is because the Heat have definitely underperformed this season. Especially, they went to the finals. They pretty much had the same team, and they are not even in the playoff picture. So I like how they actually didn't have any All-Stars, but I think if they did have to put another front court player in, it should be Bam Adebayo.
My last snub is also Bam Adebayo, so we had very similar lists, actually, despite the only difference was Fred VanVleet for me. And so you said the stats, around 20 points per game, 10 rebounds, 6 assists. Bam's been putting up great numbers. But you look at his team, and it's not the same. The Heat have been underwhelming. You had them fourth in your top 10 to open up the year. They are definitely not the fourth best team in the league by a fine margin. We can say that. And for the Heat and Bam and Jimmy Butler, they've been better recently with everyone, I guess, getting back healthy, getting back from the COVID pauses and whatever. But Bam has kind of been that consistent piece. He really has been there the whole year, even if Jimmy Butler hasn't been there. Tyler Hero hasn't been there. Bam's been there for almost the season. And for Bam, I want him to keep getting better because it's kind of the same thing with Sabonis because Bam is a terrific playmaker. Coming out of Kentucky, he really wasn't that. I just remember him as a dunker and a blocker. But he's totally developed his game completely since then from Kentucky. He's become a pretty decent mid-range shooter. Can't really hit the three, but he has a nice mid-range. And he's also a fantastic interior defensive player. And he can step up on the perimeter to defend the bigger guys who may be out there, like an Anthony Davis, per se. Because Bam can do that. He can do that defensive matchup. And so Bam is all-around talented. He has the caliber to become an all-star. Just didn't have a great start to the year, and that kind of hurt his chances. But he'll be there soon. I'll promise that. Bam is terrific, and you can expect him in an All-Star game probably next year. And so, yeah, you have anything else to say, or are you good? Okay, and so now let's take it into the college game, because we actually had some pretty interesting upsets last night, including top 10 ranked team Oklahoma falling to Kansas State, and honestly a pretty interesting game, especially ending. And so Baylor, they were coming off their COVID pause. They had their first game back versus the team that has 0 wins in the Big 12, Iowa State, and they also struggled. Baylor still got the win because they are fabulous, but it's just interesting to see the two best teams in the Big 12 struggling versus the worst two teams in the Big 12. And so Walker, for both these games, do these, like, results really mean anything to you?
I think
at this point
for the Baylor game, they've had lots of pauses, like lots of health and safety kind of protocol scares and pauses. So I think it was just a bad game for Baylor, and I'm not worried about them at all, actually, because a win is a win, and they're still undefeated, and they've destroyed all the other good Big 12 opponents, as the Big 12 is a really strong conference. I think they just had a bad first half, but they ended up bouncing back and taking the win. But for Oklahoma, on the other hand, a team that has been regularly playing games, I think, it's a team that I wasn't totally big on in the first place, and before they even struggled to Iowa State. And Iowa State's a terrible team, really. Well, I think they are better than the record, but they're like 2-16, and then they go on to beat the 7th ranked team in the nation. So Oklahoma falls to 14-6. I think there is some cause for concern there, but I don't think so for Baylor.
For me, there's no concerns anywhere for Oklahoma and Baylor. Baylor is a spectacular team. They had a rough game. We've seen teams struggle coming off of COVID pauses, including Virginia Tech, who actually got
Yeah.
smashed by Georgia Tech last night, which we both predicted, in fact. But Georgia Tech is actually a pretty solid team despite their record. And for this Baylor team, I think you said this as well. Iowa State, their record of 2-17 is way worse than they actually are. I don't understand how they are only 2-17. But maybe it's just they don't have the experience or whatever. I think Iowa State's better than that. Baylor, they're better than just being Iowa State by 5. Yes. But coming off of a COVID pause is hard. And so there were still players that played really well, including Maceo Teague. He put up 14. Jared Butler, he put up 18. Adam Flagler, even off the bench, he put up 22. So they really had guys that came to play. But it wasn't the whole starting five. The rest of the starting lineup only had a combined of 19 points. So they barely just beat Jared Butler's total. So that's the only cause of concern I would think of if you were wanting to point out something for Baylor. But really, I'm not worried too much. That's not even their whole starting a whole lineup that they were playing yesterday. So some guys that didn't play. And so I'm not concerned about Baylor whatsoever. For Oklahoma, I'm fine as well. They weren't on a COVID pause, so that is a little bit worrying that they lost to Kansas State without a COVID pause. But at the same time, give credit to Kansas State, give it to David Bruce Weber, give it to their guard Mike McGurl. He knocked down three clutch threes in the last 2 minutes to really like just take this thing by the horns and steal it and beat the Sooners. Man had ice in his veins. He was knocking them down in the faces of his defenders for Oklahoma. He was crazy. And Kent State is bad, like basically as bad as their jerseys last night. They were horrendous. Go check them out, please. Kent State jerseys versus Oklahoma. They were gross, but they got the win versus Oklahoma, surprisingly. But I don't think it matters right now. Oklahoma's a fabulous team, and they've been beating West Virginia and teams of that caliber all year. So I think they're fine for tournament, but
Yeah.
give credit to Kent State because they deserve some for that win. And so there was another upset, actually, if we take it to the Big Ten, in which Michigan State, the Spartans, who have had a terrible year, really, to say the least, 12-9 record, they upset the number 5 Fighting Illini from Illinois, who Walker and I were just speaking so highly of a week ago. And so, Walker, are the Michigan State Spartans
I
a
think Michigan
tournament
State
team?
at their ceiling is on the bubble and maybe gets in at an 11 seed, but I think they have a more interesting case than Duke because these next five games they're playing Michigan twice and Ohio State two more top to five teams. So if they can rattle off even just one win, and especially two would help, but if they can just get one win and maybe beat the other two teams like they're playing like Maryland and Indiana, I think they have a chance on the bubble. I don't think they'd actually be in, but if they perform really well against these top five teams and do well against just the other Big Ten opponents, I think they could get in. But we'll have to see how they do in the conference tournament and how they do against these last few regular season games.
For sure, Walker. And for me, I'm gonna go kind of on the same pace as you. If you look back at my Duke argument yesterday, it was the fact that they need to win games at the end, and that's the same thing for Michigan State. You sit at a 12-9 record, you're in the middle of the pack, to the bottom actually of the to in the pack in the Big Ten. How are you gonna make it? But if you look at the Big Ten, everyone is absolutely fantastic. If you don't bring your A plus game every night, you're gonna lose some games, and clearly that was the case for Illinois last night. But Michigan State has been playing some good basketball recently. They beat a hard Indiana team over the weekend in a close match for the most part, thanks to Rocket Watts, Aaron Henry, and all those guys, even Gabe Brown as well for the Spartans. But there's just a lot of guys who can turn on the Spartans team, and they need them every night to do so. Because if you look at the Big Ten, everyone else is really talented head to toe. Michigan State, not as talented head to toe, but there's players on this team that could turn on Joey Hauser, even like I said, Rocket Watts, Aaron Henry. But is the Spartans team a tournament team? I think it's the same thing as Duke. You got to win the games at the end to prove so. You got Michigan, you got Ohio State. Those are top five teams right there. If you get one of the three games they play, then that's fabulous. You got to beat Maryland. You got to beat Indiana. So you can't really lose those games. And then still with those wins, are they even in outright? That's the question. They have to do well in the conference tournament to prove so. And so I think it's the same thing with Duke. They could be an 11 seed playing game, but for Michigan State, I think their ceiling is a 10 seed, but their floor is out of the tournament for sure. And if they don't beat Michigan or Ohio State, they're out of the tournament.
Nope.
And so, what, you have anything else or you're good again? Okay. And so now let's take it to NBA trivia. And so this one has no correlation, in fact. And so Lakers play tonight versus the Jazz, huge game. But if you look at the Lakers, they have three players on their current roster who have recorded triple doubles in their career. Of course, Anthony Davis and LeBron James are two. Walker, who is that third player? It's a tough one. It's a tough one.
I want to say Kyle Kuzma. Yeah.
That's your final answer. And that is incorrect. Oh. It is actually Marcus Gasol.
Forgot about him.
Ooh. I know. Marcus Gasol. And so now let's take it to quick picks. Let's go. We got three NBA games to predict and two college basketball. So let's start off with the NBA games. Walker, we have the Toronto Raptors.
This game I have the Raptors.
Who do you have?
I don't really know why. I think Raptors are just a better team. And they've been playing very well over the past few weeks. So I think the Raptors are going to win this tonight.
Clearly, you know why you're going to choose the Raptors, and it is because they're the better team, Walker. The Heat have been playing better basketball recently. Bam, Jimmy Butler, Tyler Hero, all those guys, they've been playing better recently. But the Raptors have been the best team in February in the league, so they get to win tonight. Okay, Walker, next game.
Okay.
Okay, you know what I meant. In the Eastern Conference.
For this one, I have the Suns. Or Hornets, I think the Suns are just a better team. Hornets are coming off a tough loss to Utah, so I wouldn't actually be surprised if they bounce back and take a win, but I do have to go with a better team in the Suns.
I am also taking the Suns. The Suns, I've also been an excellent team in February. Chris Paul, Devin Booker. Devin Booker's probably a little bit mad after getting snubbed from the All-Star game, so he's probably going to go off for like 40 tonight versus the Hornets. Expect a big game for Booker. Suns win. And probably the game of the night, Walker. Lakers, Jazz.
Got to go with the Jazz. They had a really impressive game against the Hornets, which we talked about. They rang down the franchise record of threes, and if they can continue to knock down threes tonight, I think they're going to take the win, especially with AD out there, which would have helped them. And with Schroeder out, which would have added another offensive spark as in this one.
Yep, Walker, I have the same reasons you. I am taking the Jazz over the Lakers as well due to the fact that Dennis Schroeder is not playing tonight but is expected to return Friday versus the Portland Trailblazers. So that's good news for the Lakers. But the Jazz are just too much right now, so Jazz get the win. Okay, let's go to our college basketball games now and probably the game of night for college basketball. Number 6, Alabama versus number 20, Arkansas. Does Arkansas get the upset?
Or does I Alabama have to stop them in this one. Consistent? They're a top 10 team. I think Arkansas is also ranked in the 22 rank, but Alabama's the better team, and I like them in the SEC. And last time Alabama and Arkansas came out on top by Alabama.
That's a very fair point, Walker, but Arkansas is actually a very underrated team. I absolutely love the Razorbacks so much. They're coming off some pretty solid wins versus Missouri. They have solid pieces with players, including Justin Smith, including Moses Moody and Devontae Davis, some of their guards, and Jalen Tate as well. They got the pieces. They got the talent. They have just the depth, I guess, per se, with those seven players. So I'm taking the Razorbacks in the upset. Alabama has the offense. So I think Arkansas will be able to be strong and get the upset. Now let's go to the Big Ten. We have Rutgers versus Indiana.
So both really good teams.
Very interesting game.
I think it'll be a really close
Walker,
matchup.
Who are you taking?
Now on top.
I also have Indiana. I think Tracy Jackson Davis, their big man, and Race Thompson are just mismatches for this smaller ball type Rutgers team. Geo Baker, excellent for Rutgers, but I think Tracy Jackson Davis will just overwhelm Rutgers inside. So I'm taking the Hoosiers in this one. And that's all we have today, Walker. Thank you so much for joining the show. It was so good.